You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Over the course of making 50 films and documentaries, Werner Herzog has done everything from arranging Peruvian locals to drag a steamboat over a mountaintop in the Amazonian jungle to eating his own shoe after losing a bet. In his latest adventure, he travels to Antarctica to explore the stories of the people and wildlife residing there. The documentary is called Encounters at the End of the World. It opens on June 11th at the Film Forum here in Greenwich Village in New York. And it is my great pleasure to welcome Mr. Herzog back to the show.
It's a great pleasure to be back with you.
Had you always wanted to go to Antarctica?
Not always. It came somehow out of the blue. I did recording of music with Richard Thompson, and it was a music for a grizzly man. And one of the musicians and the producer of the music, Henry Kaiser, was in the control room with a laptop and showed something on this laptop to my editor. And I was with the musicians, and I see him turning around. All of a sudden, I see something I've never seen before on the screen of a laptop, and I immediately stopped everything, and I said, Henry, I must see that. It happened, what I didn't know, that he was a very expert diver who had done dives, professional dives, under the ice of the Ross Ice Shelf. And it's an incredible science fiction world down there. And Henry thought, this was lousy footage, and he didn't shoot it well. And I said, Henry, this is the most incredible footage I've ever seen, and can I have it? I'm planning to do a science fiction movie. So this world underwater with all these crazy and strange creatures.
That don't exist anywhere else in the world.
Some of them do not exist anywhere else, yeah. And I used it in a science fiction film, The Wild Blue Yonder, and I kept bothering him, and I said, Henry, you must go back, shoot more, do more, and I would love to come with you and accompany you with a camera, and I'm going to do the diving. But, of course, it was quite evident. It's way too dangerous. If you get disoriented, you cannot surface anymore. You have to find the exit hole that they drill through a layer of 15, 20 feet of ice, and you would perish, or sometimes underwater currents. And so only the best of the best would be allowed. And I can delegate. I said, fine, yes, Henry, you do it, and I trust in you. And that was the reason I wanted to go to Antarctica. And then
you were invited.
Not immediately. I had the feeling I would never make it to Antarctica. It's kind of inaccessible in a way. And Henry all of a sudden said to me, why don't you apply for a grant? There's a writers and artists grant by the National Science Foundation. You, for example, could apply for it and do whatever wonderful radio show down there. And I applied, and all of a sudden I find myself invited.
Well, it seems to me that this is the sort of place you'd want to go, because you've made any number of films about people trying to conquer difficult environments, whether it's the Amazon or the far north, and in this case, Antarctica.
It was not so much of exploring a continent like Amundsen and Scott and Shackleton in the early days. It was simply landscapes or images that I saw that were so extraordinary that I simply had to go there. But the funny thing is, the moment I was invited, my heart sank for a moment, because you have no possibility to do research down there. You are sent down 6 weeks later or 7 weeks later. You have to come back with a film in the can.
Well, in most of your movies, you portray characters that are searching, and Fitzcarraldo for impossible solutions, and little Dieter learns to fly to overcome the past. This is about people who are looking for something at the end of the world. And one of them says he's just slipped down until he fell to the bottom of the world. Another says we must jump off the margins of the map and meet where all the lines combine.
Yes, in a way it's true. And of course, a very special type of human beings is going down there. Of course, many of them scientists who do cutting edge science, climate research, but not only that, there is biologists who are actually diving under the ice in order to retrieve single-cell creatures that are very ancient, and they point in their DNA sequences, point to earliest forms of biological life on our planet. Or there are physicists who study neutrinos. I mean, incredibly, unfathomably small, tiny particles that go through the entire planet Earth without ever touching anything. And very rarely there's an occasion where they would collide with the nucleus of an atom. And they have a good chance to detect these events because you have sometimes from balloons that go up in the stratosphere, and they would cover hundreds and hundreds of square miles without any electrical disturbances down there. Or they have a cubic kilometer of pure ice on the South Pole itself, which conducts light very well, and they have sensors to register events that are extremely rare, and these are unfathomable, almost spirit beings out there. They are so tiny, but of course a point understanding them means to understand the origins of our universe. So it's very, very significant science that's being done there, and it attracts a very special brand of human beings.
And we've obviously come a long way from the time of Shackleton. You do include some of that incredible dramatic footage,
yes,
of the that
the
fatal
expeditions, yeah,
expeditions there. So now we've kind of learned how to conquer this area.
I think that was a ill-advised concept in the early days, to conquer the peak of the highest mountain in the world. They spoke almost in military terms to be the first one to be on the North Pole or on the South Pole. And this quest was somehow not very healthy. I believe today it has faded away, and there are people out there who are explorers of a different kind.
You also give us a different view of Antarctica than we've gotten elsewhere. For example, your presentation of the penguins is quite different from the one that we got from the March of the Penguins. Some of your penguins stray into the wild and never come back, no matter how, even if you try to get them to come back. And this is the first time I've ever heard about penguin prostitution.
Well, I'm not talking about it, but there was a very, in a way, a hilarious encounter with a scientist who studies penguin behavior since 15 or 20 years, and he was not very much into conversation with human beings anymore, and I tried to elicit something out of him. And I asked him, is there such a thing as derangement or insanity among penguins? And he starts, all of a sudden, he warms up and speaks about some forms of prostitution, about penguins, females who collect rocks and steal them and build a little nest and they mate with the males, but their real intention is to get the rock. So it's kind of hilarious, but it's also a sad moment because, of course, a penguin is marching, instead of towards the open ocean, he's marching straight into the interior of the continent.
And
we should not forget that the continent of Antarctica is larger than continental North America. It's vast, it's immense, it's just huge. Mountains higher than in the Rockies. 3 kilometers of ice on covering most of it.
My guest is Werner Herzog, whose latest film is a documentary called Encounters at the End of the World. It is opening a week, I guess, on the 11th, which
is
a Wednesday at the Film Forum. Next Wednesday at the Film Forum. You have often talked about the blurring of the line between fiction and truth, which you've called ecstatic fiction. Did you feel that was also an element in this film? For example,
probably,
some of that
yes.
undersea, those undersea
yes.
footages with Bulgarian chanting music, it feels as magical as the great processional scene from Aguirre, the Wrath of God.
In a way, yes, but of course, when you are talking to scientists, you cannot make up things. You better stick to the scientific facts. But of course, sometimes the film all of a sudden boldly moves into the area of science fiction. There's a wonderful sequence where the camera moves behind some people through endless tunnels carved into the ice right under the very South Pole, the mathematical true South Pole. And at the end, 70 degrees below zero, at the end of this endless tunnel, there is a carved out little shrine and they find a deep frozen sturgeon. You can't even invent such a thing. It's pure fantasy, pure science fiction.
Some of the lyrics of the music are celebrating God, and your narration uses several religious references, as, for example, when you say the divers are as silent as they are, as priests would be before in preparing for Mass. But you're an avowed atheist, aren't you?
It doesn't matter. I think there's still a distant echo in me of a very dramatic religious phase that I had when I was 14, 15 or so. But of course, when you look at these images and underwater and some of the divers speaking, we are going down into the cathedral. So there's something like almost sacrality about this. And the music does a lot to enhance it and to transform this world into something almost different.
And also some of the natural sounds, the sounds of the seals, for example.
Yes.
Quite magical. We're used to the sounds of whales, the songs of whales, but I was surprised by the seals.
Yes, it's a totally amazing sound. You see, we had a minimum crew, only a cinematographer, and I directed the film and I did the sound, and I'm proud because it's good quality. But the best of the best of the sound was not recorded by me, but another grantee of the National Science Foundation, Douglas Quinn. And he had underwater microphones and spent a whole season down there to record it. And it's absolutely unheard of and beautiful. And the strange thing is that it was discovered that seal colonies in one area of Antarctica, which cannot reach 5,000 kilometers or 5,000 miles, 6,000 miles away on the other side of Antarctica, they cannot have contact because it's all frozen. And recordings of seals all of a sudden indicate there might be something like different dialects. Of course, we'll never understand the kind of communication in this very strange, almost cosmic electronic sounds. It's absolutely mysterious, and it's one of the great moments for me in the film, in the great experiences.
You do the narration here, as you have in other previous films. You prefer to use your voice rather than an actor's?
I think it's a question of authenticity for me. And I think people do not worry anymore that I speak with a thick accent.
Well, we understand
it's okay.
You.
Yes, I make
and
myself
you live
understood.
Here.
I enjoy to live here. I'm happily married here to an American.
Is that why you prefer to live in Los Angeles than back in Europe?
Yes. And, of course, living in Los Angeles meant a lot of new horizons. That means National Science Foundation or that, for example, the film was financed largely by Discovery Channel, Creative Differences, who did with me, and together with Discovery Channel, who did Grizzly Man with me. So new subjects, new alliances, new distributions, new theaters, different theaters that are showing my film. So I really enjoy it.
The title of this film can be taken in a number of different ways. Encounters at the End of the World. The obvious one, of course, is Antarctica being the end of the world. But there also are all sorts of signs of climate change that the scientists in Antarctica are dealing with. And you speak about the dangers of extinction as well. So did you mean to say that it's not just located at the end of the world, but that there may be we may be seeing signs that we are pushing our planet to its own end?
Yes, that's part of it. Sure. And when you talk to people who are working down there, scientists in particular, and many of them are firmly convinced that our life on this planet is not really sustainable, that we will disappear sooner or later, probably fairly soon even in let's say in terms like how long did we have dinosaurs on this planet, how long did we have trilobites. Probably the presence of human beings on this planet for many reasons is quite limited, which doesn't actually make me that nervous.
Well, you won't be here, but we did, in our lifetime, we've seen an ozone hole open over Antarctica.
Yes.
And then close, because we actually did mm-hmm. heed the sign.
Yes, but we should not forget, and that's a subject I'm talking about with a former linguist who is a computer expert in a greenhouse in the middle of Antarctica, and we are talking about extinction of languages and cultures, and we should not forget that a part of the ozone hole and a part of, let's say, the danger for the whales in the oceans. Of all the, let's say, 6,500 languages that are spoken on this planet right now, within something like 50 years, probably 90% will be extinct.
And that doesn't bother you?
That really bothers me a lot. It bothers me more than, let's say, whales, because it's human beings and it's ways to see reality and its stories and religions and poetry. Whole cultures will disappear very, very quickly. Even in the United States, we have some quite at least half a dozen native languages that have less than 10 speakers.
But I'm surprised to hear you say this, because it's always been my sense that your work is about humans and nature and
yes.
the environment. And if we lose the whales, then that's a major loss to humans as well. And
yes.
if we lose
yeah.
languages, it's a major loss.
Yeah.
The real problem is that we're losing all of these
yeah.
things.
I'm more alarmed that we lose languages and cultures and ways to understand the world.
The latest film by Werner Herzog, are you going to be making a fiction film again? Or?
Yes, very soon in New Orleans with Nicolas Cage. It's a new story called The Bad Lieutenant. There was a previous one, but it's an entirely
that
different
was
story.
That was Abel Ferrara's film.
Which I haven't seen, but we'll do with a similar title another film.
Werner Herzog's Encounters at the End of the World opens next Wednesday at the Film Forum on West Houston Street. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.